Just to recap, in chapter 44, which is what we're studying right now, chapter 43, to recap, we studied about the four levels that we call the lower level of Yiras Hashem, fear of God, higher level of fear of Hashem, the lower level of Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, the higher level of loving Hashem, loving God. So for those four levels. And just to recap, briefly, we said as follows. The two levels of fear of Hashem are, we called in the language in Aramaic, we called Yiratata'a, the lower level of fear. This is not fear of punishment. This is a fear of disappointing Hashem, not living up to our responsibilities, not living up to the best that we can be. The lower level is called a lower level because, depending on our nature, our natural. The natural, just like a child, has a natural desire not to have the parents disappointed. Because you're a child, if you're a normal kid, you don't want your parents not to be proud of you. You don't want your parents to be upset at you. You may not understand that your parents are giving you stuff, but you know this by nature, and this is true of every individual that has a relationship with somebody else. If you have a relationship and you're receiving something from somebody, you don't want, just if you're a mensch, you don't want that person should be upset at you because you have a relationship. So that's a lower level. The higher level that we call Yira Ilah depends on a person's understanding. The more you understand how great Hashem is, and the same is true of in the human level, the more you understand how much the person did for you, the more you understand how great the individual is in everybody else's estimation, the more you have this fear of disappointing, this fear of not living up to your responsibility. So again, those are the two levels that we spoke about, fear of Hashem. And again, fear here means fear of disappointing. The lower level is a fear that is sort of a natural born fear. Just because you're a mensch, you don't want to disappoint Hashem, your creator, the source of your life. And the higher level, we said, was depending on your understanding, how much you understand. But the Rebbe actually explained that in order to reach the higher level, you have to have a certain level, which we called chachma, a certain level of understanding, as I just mentioned to you. And the Alter Rebbe actually quoted, who is a wise person? One who sees what will happen from their actions, the outcome. Who is a smart person? Is a person who, before you do something, you're already thinking and understanding what is going to be the outgrowth, the outcome of your actions. And the Alter Rebbe said that this is the literal meaning, of course, but if you translate those words literally, is a chacham, who is a wise person, haroeh es hanolad, who sees how things are created, who sees how things are born. That means the creation of the world. And if the Alter Rebbe therefore said that when a person recognizes how the creation of the world is coming from Hashem on a certain level, and the creation of the world is absolutely nothing compared to the essence of Hashem, and as we say, the whole world is created with Hashem's speech, and the whole world really doesn't have, so the creator must be, if the world is so awesome and nature is so powerful and it's nothing compared to its creator, who could you even begin to imagine how great the creator is? So when a person meditates, Alter Rebbe said, on how the world is created, this amazing world and this powerful natural order that we see in the oceans and the mountains and the climates and the this that we can't comprehend, the human can't comprehend how powerful the galaxies and the, so if all of this is nothing compared to God, imagine Hashem, imagine creator. So when a person meditates on that, and then you say, this great creator that created all of these levels, I have a little job to do. It's a few mitzvahs I got to do. I got to live my life in a certain unselfish way. Could you imagine who am I to even, do anything different? So when a person, the Alter Rebbe says, when a person really meditates on this and thinks about the awesomeness of creation And then the your yira, your higher level of fear of disappointing Hashem becomes that much more acute, that much more powerful. So that is what we studied in the previous chapter. And then we said that just as there are two levels of fear of Hashem, of disappointing Hashem, one again is natural born, and the other is depending on our meditation, contemplation, appreciation of how great Hashem is. The same is true, the Alter Rebbe said, of two levels of love for Hashem. And the two levels of love for Hashem, it actually comes, the Alter Rebbe said, the first one comes through meditation contemplation. The more we meditate, the more we contemplate about how great Hashem is and how wonderful it is, how wonderful spirituality, how real spirituality is, and how temporary, transitory, absolutely disappointing it is to have only materialistic accomplishment, and how so empty it is. So the more we meditate, the more we understand how powerful spirituality is, the more we will love spirituality, the more we will, the less, and the two go together, it's like a seesaw. The more we are bound up with loving materialism, the less we have the opportunity and the capacity to love spirituality. The two are diametrically opposed to each other. A person who is an individual who is very excited and wants to attain materialistic accomplishment cannot at the same moment, it's like fire and water, cannot at the same moment, it's not my example, that's the Zohar's example. It cannot at the same moment have a spiritual excitement. You can't, it just doesn't, the two are opposite. The only way to have both at the same time is if you recognize that materialism itself is a creation of Hashem, and therefore the reason to have more materialism is to be able to turn that materialistic accomplishment into spiritual accomplishment. And then you actually, instead of fighting the materialistic, instead of being fire and water separate from each other, the fire actually heats up the water, and the water actually benefits from the heat of the fire. And then you have boiling water, then you have a food that's actually. So this is what we talk about. So the first level, therefore, of love for Hashem is this idea that a person's love for Hashem depends on how much you understand the greatness of spirituality. And then we said that there's yet a higher love for Hashem. And that love for Hashem is not based on your understanding. It's based on a complete and total gift that Hashem gives the person. Sometimes we said it can happen even to a person who is not worthy of the gift. That means you haven't prepared yourself properly. You haven't studied Torah. You haven't done mitzvahs. You're a complete, total sinner. But for some reason, something happens in your life, and all of a sudden, you get this huge, big shock. And all of a sudden, the heavens open up, and all of a sudden, you realize, wow, look how amazing spiritual. Look how God is amazing. For some reason, you lived your life all. And Al-Tareb actually gave an example of an individual who. The Gemara says was a terrible sinner, but then at the end of their life, they something happened and they all of a sudden realized, and they actually died from that thought. They were felt such intense remorse for the way they had lived their life up until that point that they actually died. So that's a level that is a gift from Hashem. Sometimes that gift from Hashem is because Hashem gave that individual a certain type of neshama, a certain type of soul. So that's a gift too. Look, each of us is given a neshama. And the soul that we're given, meaning the spiritual energy, the power plant inside of us that we're given, that's God's choice. Hashem chooses what each individual should give. And that's not according to your actions. That's according to the way you're born. It's like a person who's born with a talent to sing. You may never use it, but if you one day were to use it, you would be this most amazing opera singer. A person is born with a talent to paint, draw, whatever, any talent. You may never use it, but you have the talent. And somebody else who's actually trying to become an artist, Nebuch is not trying to sing, Nebuch can't hold a note, you know, is tone deaf. Yeah, this person loves to sing, but thankfully stays in the shower. and it's totally tone deaf. The other guy who actually has the capacity doesn't even know it or doesn't even use it. So that is a gift. The neshama is a gift. What we have as a neshama could be a person who is completely not religious, completely not doing anything. When I say not religious, I don't mean loving Hashem. I mean not practicing for whatever reason. But they have a very powerful neshama. And if they were once to actually tune in, that individual would actually be able to leapfrog and reach a level of love for Hashem that's greater than the person who is living a practicing, so to speak, Orthodox life all their life. And so only because they have a greater power plant, plain and simple. So that's an amazing concept in and of itself to talk about, which the Alter Rebbe did mention in the last chapter. So we talked about, again, the last chapter 43, we spoke about the two levels of fear of Hashem, Yirei Tatzah, Yirei La. We spoke about the concept of Ezeu Chacham Haroa Es HaNolad, who is a person who reaches Chachma, who reaches this wisdom, this level of understanding, a person who meditates and contemplates the way the world is created, the awesomeness of the Creator. And we spoke about the two levels of love for Hashem, that is the level of love for Hashem that comes through intellectual understanding and meditation, contemplation, and study, and so on. And we ended up the chapter 43, last chapter, by speaking about the love for Hashem that is a gift that can only be reached if Hashem decides that this individual is worthy of having this love. And we said that sometimes a person can reach it even if you're apparently not worthy, just because Hashem decides that at that moment you're worthy. And our talks the last couple of times, last couple of sessions, we actually went into all the reasons for all these things. So that's the skeleton, the outline, and the reasons we spoke about from the last sessions. So now we're moving up to chapter 44. In chapter 44, we're going to speak about love for Hashem and the different levels of love for Hashem. Now, keep in mind that we said that love and fear are, when we talk about love for Hashem, we're speaking not only about the emotion of love, and this is true of all relationships too, because as a general matter, the way Hashem created, the way Hashem created the world becomes a template for the way the world itself operates, functions in inside of itself. So the relationship between the creator and the created beings, the world, and the creator and us, we are the humans, created beings, is the same. Hashem created that as a template for the way we humans relate to each other also. So therefore, we can use our personal relationships and what motivates us to understand what motivates Hashem. And we can use understanding Hashem, vice versa, to understand how we're supposed to act to each other. They are template. They are, relationships are similar. This, again, is a statement that the Midrash makes, and the Alter Rebbe will talk more about this in the second part of Tanya. We talk now about the love for Hashem. So the love for Hashem, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us, is two levels of love. Ava Rava, Avas Olam. Now I'm reading from the text. Each of these two grades of love, Ava Rava, Avas Olam, is subdivided into limitless shades, gradations, very many levels, each individual according to his spiritual capacity. And what this means is that if the love, again, to define love, what does love mean? So love doesn't just mean I like something. I like something actually is I love myself. I don't love that thing. The person says, I like to eat this food. I like to go on this type of vacation. I don't like the vacation. I like myself, and this is what makes me happy. So at the end of the day, what do I like? I like myself. And the same is true of food. Say, I like this type of food. I like this food, that food. I don't like the food at all. I like myself. If I liked the food, I wouldn't eat it. If I actually liked the piece of meat, the piece of pizza, the piece of ice cream, whatever it is, I would put it in a box and I would guard it and make sure nothing happens to it. Instead, I eat it up. So do I really like the food? I could care less about the food. I care about myself. So therefore, when we talk about love in the language of Torah, love is a selfless emotion. It's an emotion that says, I would like to give of myself in order to make that other entity some level of completeness. Meaning, I recognize that the other side, the other entity, the other whatever it is that I'm loving, has a need, and I am willing and ready and excited about giving of myself in order to fill a need that somebody else has. That's what love really means, according to the Torah. So we find, love your fellow as yourself. Just like you want everybody else to fill your needs, so too you should fill somebody else's need. Once we define love, not as something that makes me happy, but as me making somebody else happy, all of a sudden a lot of things become clear. Again, this is not to go off on a tangent here, but this is all of a sudden that we understand lots of different things about why the Torah says certain relationships are forbidden relationships. We understand why the Torah, nowadays we have this terrible confusion with all kinds of different relationships that people are saying, what's wrong with the relationship? Why can't you sanctify the relationship in marriage? Why can't you have this relationship? And the answer is, it's not about me. It's about you. And it's not going to make you the way you need to be, because at the end of the day, we are each obligated to serve our Creator. So a lot to talk about. I don't want to go off on a tangent here. And some people say this is politics. I don't think it's politics. I think this is basic religion. And it's a complete lack of understanding of our place in the world and our job in the world. Unfortunately, it's a big confusion going on in the world today. And even a lot of Orthodox rabbis, forget about the conservative reform rabbis who are actually promoting all kinds of stuff. But a lot of Orthodox rabbis are afraid to talk politics. It's very, very sad when you don't have the leaders of the congregation. So giving clarity, it's like the lighthouse turns out the light and then the ship crashes into the cliff. So whose fault is it? Torah actually says it's the fault of the lighthouse. There is a pasuk, a verse from the beginning of the book of Devarim that Moshe says that I have appointed leaders, v'asimeim barashechem, and I have placed them to be your leaders. And Rashi, quoting the Gemara, says, don't read the word v'asimeim, I have placed them, but read the word v'ashimeim, I have made them responsible for you. And we're going to speak about that in another minute. So the leaders are responsible. And again, I get on a soapbox, but that is very important to know. And the truth is that we are each leaders. And I guess that's the message. We are each leaders, and we're leaders of our own families. We're leaders of our own circles. And if we don't each speak up, not just for this topic, any topic that we feel is important, we keep quiet because we're afraid what somebody else is going to say. Doesn't mean you have to beat somebody over the head, but you have to say quietly and firmly, you know, I really think that this is the way it is, and here are my reasons, and I love you anyway, regardless of what you think. I'm not judging you, but if you want to know, here's what I think. If we abdicate the right, we give up the right to express what we believe is right, is correct, and then we have no, number one, we have no right then to criticize somebody else. If you don't tell them what you think, how are you going to criticize your kids or your friends? And number two, we also are doing ourselves a disservice, because eventually what happens is the discourse in the street, the thought out there is such and such, and we've never done anything to make a difference. So who are we to blame? Anyway, that is a little parenthetic soapbox comment. But we are talking here about the love for Hashem. So love is defined, therefore, not as what I want for myself, but as what I can do for you. That's what love. I love you doesn't mean what can you do for me. or what I love you because you've done something for me. It means I would like to give something of myself to you because I recognize that you have a need. Now, once we define love as I recognize that you have a need, now we can understand a little deeper what we previously said and what we're saying right here, that there are two levels of love, Ava Rabba and Avas Olam, and why the higher level of love cannot be attained through your own work. In other words, when Hashem creates the world, the love of Avas Olam, the lower level of love for Hashem, which we explain is a love that we attain when we recognize how powerful the Creator is, and we recognize how powerful the Creator is only through recognizing how powerful the Creator's creations is. So the more we study about the natural sciences, about nature, the more we study about the spiritual sciences, about this angels and the heavenly worlds, the more we begin to open our eyes and say, wow, Hashem is so powerful. Hashem is so amazing. Hashem is so talented, can do everything at the same time, infinite and finite at the same time, all kinds of stuff. But that, since love means filling somebody else's need, the only way we can react and the only way we can have love on that level is if that individual has a need, right? If love means filling somebody else's need, a person that has no need, assuming there will be such a thing, there's no such thing because every human has a need. Every human is limited. But if this individual, if this entity is unlimited, unlimited means no limitation whatsoever, no nothing missing. That means no need. How can you love an entity that has no need? Meaning, what can you give to the rich person or the contented person that has everything that they need? How are you gonna love them? How are you gonna give? Unless you say, well, I'm getting. Well, if you're getting, then already your love is incomplete. Then already it's selfish. So when you think about this conundrum, and really it's a conundrum because it's the sound of one hand clapping. How can you love an entity that has everything that it needs, that is completely unlimited? Now we begin to understand, according to the limits of our understanding, why the higher level of love, which is Ava Rabba, is impossible to attain based on our own work. Because when we say we love Hashem with that higher level of love, what it means is we love Hashem on Hashem's terms, on an unlimited term. We're limited. What are we giving to the unlimited? It must be a gift, therefore, that Hashem somehow lifts us up out of our own sense of being limited and gives us the capacity to be greater than we are. This is, therefore, called a gift, plain and simple. A gift means something that you cannot obtain, you can't reach on your own, and somebody gives you out of the blue. It's actually something that humans can't even attain, even if you give it to the person, you can't understand it. So it must be a certain spiritual, incredible spiritual uplift. And that's why, as we said in the last chapter, this sinner who died out of this sense of love was no longer human, plain and simple. This, the body, the soul and the body disconnected. So therefore, the next question we got to ask ourselves is, why are we studying about this if we can't attain it, if this higher level of love is simply unattainable? And the answer is because, as the Alter Rebbe is about to say, we can approach and we can increase our appreciation of Hashem and therefore our love for Hashem and therefore what we do for Hashem, for our relationship with our Creator. We can do something. We can elevate ourselves in certain ways. And because there is also an advantage to each one of these loves, the Ava Rabba and Avas Olam, the love that's based on our intellectual understanding of Hashem, the love that's simply a gift from Hashem. There is an advantage in each one, and therefore the Alter Rebbe is going to speak about in this chapter the various levels of love for Hashem. So let's continue. It is written in the Holy Zohar on the verse, her husband is known in the gates. This is from the famous chapter, Esh Hayeshev, the last chapter of the book of Mishle, the book of Proverbs. And we talk about the relationship. It's talking literally about a husband and a wife, or actually, according to the commentaries, it's talking about a mother and a son. Although the language is a husband and a wife. But this is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Hashem is called the husband, and we are called the wife, meaning that type of relationship that's supposed to be a selfless relationship, a loving relationship, where one does for the other. That is the relationship that we are supposed to have with Hashem, with our Creator. So it says towards the end of the chapter, it says, we talk about how wonderful the wife is, which of course is how wonderful the Jewish people are. But at the end it says, her husband is known in the gates. And the Zohar says, the husband refers to Hashem, meaning he's very famous. The gates are the gateways, the entranceway to the city. Today we would say he's known in the town square. The gateway to the city was where everybody used to, the shops were, and people used to go in and out, and everybody would stop there and talk. So that's means in the public squares, her husband is known. Everybody speaks about how wonderful this woman is, so amazing, and her husband is also amazing. So that's what basically the literal verse is saying. The Zohar says this refers to the Holy One, blessed be He, so-called, since He is the husband of the congregation of Israel, who makes Himself known and attaches Himself to everyone according to the extent which one measures in one's heart. So we see from this that the Zohar also says, the Zohar teaches that two individuals may have the same general level of love of Hashem, but their particular individual levels of love will differ. And the reason is, as we said before, Hashem gives each of us a different neshama. So according to the level of our neshama, according to the level of our spiritual inner engine, that's how much we can have this sense of selflessness, this sense of giving back, and the sense of appreciation of our Creator. Plain and simple. If you have less spiritual energy in yourself, then you have less capacity to give back to God. If you have more, you have more capacity to understand and to give and so on, to feel selfless. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe continues, fear and love are called secret things known to the Lord our God. The Torah tells us, the background of this verse is, the Torah tells us that when the Jewish nation was about to enter Israel, Moshe gathered all the Jews. And Moshe said, I am going to make now a covenant with you guys, and I make you promise. And that promise is that you're going to be responsible for each other. And the Jews said, wow, up till now, we had a promise, a covenant, that we're going to keep the Torah individually. Now we have a promise that each of us is going to make sure that the other one keeps the Torah also, that we're now responsible for our brothers and sisters. How could that be? How are we going to be responsible, the Jews said to Moshe, for what people do in their hearts? If a person in their heart believes, let's say, in an idol, or in their heart is thinking something, you know, that's supposed to be hatred, or idol worship, whatever it is, how could we be responsible for what's happening in someone's heart? So Moshe said, you're right, and I didn't mean that. He says, Anistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu, the secret things that Hashem will take care of. But haniglot, the things that are evident, the things that are open, the things that you can see that somebody else is doing, for that, yes, you are responsible. And for that, you have to make sure that your fellow Jews are actually keeping the mitzvahs. This is a very powerful statement in and of itself, talking about the inter-responsibility that we each have for each other, not just that person should have food to eat, which is the concept of giving tzedakah and an apartment to live in, or a house to live in, and clothing to wear, and so on, which is tzedakah. But this idea of tzedakah on a spiritual level, that we're each responsible to make sure that the other person doesn't have a spiritual lack, that is clear from the Chumash, and that's at the end of the Torah, as I mentioned to you. We're reading this verse right now, that this is the a promise that Moshe made to the Jews. Moshe made us promise to him and to each other and to Hashem that we would in fact be responsible for each other's spiritual status. Very important to understand this, that we can't just go about our own business. We need to worry about our fellow Jews, not just if you're a Chabad guy or an Eish HaTorah guy or this and that, or an outreach professional. That's not what it says in the Chumash. In the Chumash, it says that every Jew that has the capacity to teach another Jew one thing, light Shabbos candles, daven, say Moda Ani in the morning, say Shema before you go to sleep, believe in God in general, whatever it is, know Aleph, the letter Aleph, as the Rebbe famously said, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph, you know Bet, teach Bet. So this is that's what the verse means literally, that we each have a responsibility to make sure that somebody else's spiritual needs are filled. But the Zohar, of course, goes a little deeper. And the Zohar says that Hanistarot LaShem Elokeinu, the secret things known to Hashem our God, what this means is that the love and fear that's in our heart, that is depending on our neshama. And that is depending on how Hashem gave us spiritual energy. Haniglot, the revealed things, that means how to do a mitzvah. How to do a mitzvah that we each have to do the mitzvah the same way. Actually, a verse that says that each one of you, whether you're a natural born Jew or you're a converted Jew, according to halacha, you're a convert, you each have the same mitzvahs. And as it says, we all have one Torah. We all have one law. Insofar as fulfillment of the Torah and mitzvahs, actual performance, we all perform the same mitzvahs. The greatest Jew, the smallest, meaning the smallest in understanding, the smallest in righteousness, we'll both put on the same tefillin, we'll both do the same mitzvahs. However, this is not the case when it comes to fear and love of Hashem. This varies according to the knowledge of God in the mind and the heart, not only because it is the fact is that people can't, reach the same level of understanding, but also because that's the way Hashem set it up. So it's not just the fact that Nebuch, you can't reach it. So what are you going to do? No, Hashem set you up. Hashem set me up. Hashem set him and her up different ways. So Hashem demands according to our capacity. If Hashem gave one person a deeper neshama, a greater neshama, and Hashem gave another person, I don't want to say a lesser neshama, but yes, the Alter Rebbe uses that terminology, a neshama that comes from a different level, obviously still powerful neshama, and so on, nefesh elokis, godly soul. But so Hashem doesn't expect the same level of fear and love, because that depends on your neshama. And that, in fact, is different. So when it comes to action, Hashem demands we should all do the same thing, and no Jew has the right to say, I can't do it. No, if you're a human being and you're living and you have your health and you have this, obviously you don't have your health, you can't do it. If you don't have any money and it costs money to do so, obviously you can't do it. But as long as you have, there's no excuses. When it comes to love and fear, everybody has different obligations according to their capacity and capability. However, the Alter Rebbe says, there is one singular and unique love which incorporates something of all the distinctions and the gradations, all the levels of both Ava Rabba and Avas Olam, and is found equally in every Jewish soul. And the reason is because we are children of our parents. That's called DNA. Because of our spiritual DNA, because we have an inheritance from our patriarchs. So this is the first level of love we're going to be talking about in this chapter, and that is the love for Hashem that we have as an inheritance from our great grandmothers, grandfathers, going back to Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov and Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah and our great, great teachers, just because we're Jews, we have a certain love. And that is what the Zohar says on the verse, "My soul, I desire you at night." That's what the pasuk says. The Zohar notes that this verse is not according to grammar. Either it should say, "My soul desires you," or it should say, "I desire you." So it says, "My soul, I desire you." It seems almost as if I desire my soul. I desire my soul at night. But essentially, what it says is, it's a poetic way of saying, by my soul, I am declaring that I really love Hashem. I desire you at night means that even when things are totally dark, even when I don't have clarity, I still am looking for spirituality. If I have clarity, obviously, it's clear. Person that has clarity, a person that understands how Hashem is creating the world and Hashem is the source and everything, that you don't have to say, I love Hashem. But even a person who is at night, even a person who is blocked out in darkness, such a person also loves Hashem. Such a person also has a deep, deep connection and so on. And why is that? Why is that? So the Zohar says, just because we have a soul, one should love Hashem with the love of the soul and spirit as they are attached to the body and the body loves them. This is the interpretation of the verse, the Zohar says. My soul, I desire. It means, since you, Hashem, are my true life and soul, my soul and life, therefore I desire you. That is to say, just as a person wants to stay alive at any cost, person worked all their life to amass a certain, to put together a certain amount of money. And all of a sudden you come to the person and say, it's your money or your life. What are you going to do? A normal person will say, if the person's not crazy, will say, who needs money if I need life, right? So all of a sudden, when you're faced with the choice between materialism and spirituality, when a person realizes, opens their eyes for a brief moment, and realizes that spirituality is the truth, and materialism is temporary, and you don't need to be that smart to recognize that. All you have to do is go to a funeral, or go to a cemetery, and see the people who are very wealthy and all their tombstones and so on and so forth, and garnished. It only lasts for a certain amount of time. You don't have to be such a brilliant person to figure that one out. So spirituality, it lasts forever. That's the definition of spirituality. It's only that we fool ourselves and we think we're going to live forever. It doesn't work that way. So a person realizes that materialism is temporary. Spirituality is permanent. So obviously, what are you going to love more? You're going to love spirituality. The more you appreciate your neshama, the more you appreciate the eternity of your soul, the more you're going to appreciate the source of your soul, which is Hashem, which is what we've been saying all along, this love. So this love for Hashem comes, as I say, I long and yearn for you like a man who craves the life of his soul. When he is weak and exhausted, he longs and yearns for his soul to revive in him, to return to him. Truly, the pleasure of living is the greatest pleasure of all. I'm reading for the text, for the note here. Man will forego all manner of pleasure in order to stay alive. Nevertheless, we don't feel the pleasure of simply being alive because a constant pleasure is not felt. Something is normal, you don't feel how wonderful it is. When a person, however, is weak and tired, and all of a sudden, God forbid, you're sick, and all of a sudden, you don't have what you can always do, then you say, oh, I really, really appreciate. Now I appreciate the ability to walk and talk and run around and jump and this and that. Then he feels the desire to live and senses the pleasure of simply being alive. Likewise, when a person goes to sleep, at which time his life force in a state of concealment, because as we say in the Gemara, sleep is like 1/60th of death, is a part of death. He longs and yearns for his soul to be restored to him when he awakens from his sleep. So do I long and yearn to draw within me the infinite light of the blessed Ein Sof, the life of true life through studying Torah when I awaken during the night from my sleep. Because By studying Torah, we are connected to Hashem. Hashem's study, Hashem's understanding, Hashem's way of looking at the world, Hashem's understanding of reality is in the Torah. If we want to be united with Hashem, if we truly appreciate God, then the thing that we will appreciate the most is the study of Torah. So that is, so an individual's love of Hashem encourages him in his Torah study. Because a person realizes that through studying Torah, you're able to become united with your Creator, bringing the energy of Hashem, the infinite energy of Hashem, into yourself, connecting yourself with your Creator. Just as creation is renewed continuously, so too, a person should study, and every time you study, you should look upon yourself as if, not as if, but that's actually the fact that you're again renewing the creation, the energy that you have, and your connection with your Creator. So the Zohar says, Alter Rebbe says, out of love for the Holy One, blessed be He, a man should rise each night, exert himself in his service until the morning. This is in fact what people used to do. They used to wake up right after midnight, study Torah, and they used to read Tehillim. If you couldn't study Torah, if you weren't a scholar, you would read the Book of Psalms and Tehillim. So the Zohar says, out of love for all the Christian raisers night, this then is the love expressed in the phrase, my soul, I desire you. The innate love that a Jew feels when he realizes that Hashem is his true soul and source of life. This love must be revealed by pondering deeply and often how Hashem is the source of all life, as will be explained later in this chapter. So the first level of love that we're talking about is the love that we have as Jews when we realize that our energy and our existence and our true existence comes from Hashem. So again, it's not what Hashem does for us, it's what we are inside of ourselves. We realize that we are our materialistic part, our physical part is nothing. Not only is it temporary, it doesn't even have any kind of existence when held up and compared to our spiritual part. Just like a person says, I never realized how wonderful this and this is because I have it all the time. But when I don't have it, boy, do I want this thing. Same is true of our spiritual side. We don't think about it because we think more about our materialistic side. But when we begin to think about it and we begin to think about how our spiritual side really is our true essence, then we say, wow, this is something that I really, really want to be part of. I really want to have. And then we say, how can I accentuate it? How can I make it greater, this connection? And the answer is by studying Torah. So then a person says, wow, I really want to study Torah because that's what connects me to Hashem in the most seamless way, in the most direct way. So this is the love that we say, Nafshi Ivisicha, I love you because you are the source of my life. That means I don't exist. A greater and more intense love than this, than the love which results from realizing that Hashem is one's true soul and love, is the love which is likewise concealed in every soul of Israel as an inheritance, as we said before. And it's defined in the Zohar, the part of Zohar called Raya Mehemna, like a son who strives for the sake of his father and mother, whom he loves even more than his own body, soul, and spirit, sacrificing his life for his father and mother in order to redeem them from captivity. This is the Zohar's description of the way Moshe loved Hashem. But of course, this is not limited to Moshe. Every Jew has this capacity because each of us are created by Hashem. Moshe was able to bring it out. Moshe was able to act that way and to feel it. But each of us has it deep inside of ourselves. And then the job that we have in front of us is to actually think about it and to actually bring out this concept of Hashem is our Father, Hashem is our source, Hashem is our life. So the idea is that we have this inside of ourselves. It's just our own mishigas that's covering it up. It's our own actions. It's our own, the way we got used to, the way the world around us is, and just the fact that we're eating and drinking. Chassidim say just eating breakfast every morning. And you got that we are physical. So how do we get out of our physicality, let alone if our physicality is overwhelming? And the answer is there are times of the day, there are days in the year, there are places, there are people. There are events, and of course, as we studied, we just read now, is Torah study. So if we Torah, if we study Torah as we're doing right now, and we are thinking a little bit, it elevates us right away, and that's the power of Torah study, and especially the power of studying the mystical elements of Torah.